Blog Talk Radio.
Clown Times. That's Clown spelled with a K, by the way. You've been able to find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can find me on Facebook. Just type in the search term, The Clown Times, the upper left-hand window, search window of Facebook. Once again, that's Clown spelled with a K. Well, ordinarily, I would talk about stuff that's going on, such as maybe the Little League World Series, talking about the foreigners hiring this lady, Ms. Sowers, who is the first openly gay coach in the NFL, who happens to be female. And also maybe a little bit about the Mayweather fight, and McGregor quote unquote fight. I mean, it's just a total joke. But instead, something went down last night that shot me, most of my homeboys, including my co-host, who is, by the way, you can find him on the sports blog called The Yard /HBCU Sports, where he talks about all things HBCU sports, as well as his own podcast with his partner every Tuesday night on Blog Talk Radio called Sleazy Radio, the one and only Dwayne Nash. Dwayne, are you a shot over the Kyrie Irving or Isaiah Thomas swap as I am?
If I was to gauge that swap, but before I go into the gauge real quick, tears for fears, you are absolutely correct. You cannot go wrong with 80s pop music. I don't care how old you are.
Exactly. Right.
If you don't like 80s pop music to some degree, you're not human. But I digress.
You're subhuman. As a matter of fact, I was going to say right quick that the only good thing about the 80s were what the music. The clothing, the hairstyles, the jerry curls can all go to hell as far as I can. But I did love the parachute pants. But, yeah, the 80s, the music was the, by far the best part of the 80s. Talk about that.
I don't know. Without the 80s, we don't get Air Jordans. So, you know, we...
That is true.
Depending upon how you feel about that, you know.
Right.
You know. But I digress about the 80s. I could praise the 80s all day long. Oh yeah,
right.
we wouldn't get the modern day. We wouldn't get one of the greatest eras of hip hop without the 80s as well. But
that
again,
is very true.
I digress.
Good point. Excellent.
God, I could talk about the 80s all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. this trade on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 7 for me. The reason why I wasn't. It wasn't a 10 for me was because, oh, man, it wasn't like a superstar for a superstar. Now, the partner was a surprise. When I'm trying to know who the partner was,
very
it
shocking.
Was all about figuring out who the pieces were. Isaiah Thomas was kind of a shock, but hearing about his health a little bit later, you know, later on in the day, was kind of understanding why they got rid of him. And whether or not both teams have improved or where they are going to rank, that's a conversation that can be had as well, which was also
right.
kind of a shock to me too. But, yeah, had it been one-on-one for, a player of his caliber to a team that
right.
I had no idea about, then, yeah, I would have been shocked. I would have really been shocked.
Well, dude, here's the thing. I mean, I'm not surprised to see Kyrie gone. I figured that the Cavaliers had to trade him because he made it clear. He was going to raise
exactly.
holy hell if they brought his ass back to Cleveland and let this fall. He made that abundantly clear. And for all the posturing that the Castle office had to do, and granted, they had to do,
mm-hmm.
okay? They had to do some public posturing. They couldn't make a deal while they're scared. At the same time, not only to make a deal with your number one rival in the Eastern Conference,
mm-hmm.
the Boston Celtics, but to get what they get in return. Now, look, I understand that, you know, that, I mean, sure, I mean, you know, Isaiah Thomas, great player, but he has a hip injury that he refused to get surgery on. And
exactly.
the point that Boston themselves itself did not know, the front office and the coaching staff did not know if he was going to be able to participate in training camp. So there's
mm-hmm.
that. I mean, Jay Crowder is a very good player. He's not great, but he's a very good player. You know, he brings that toughness and that heart
mm-hmm.
that Cleveland was much needed for the Cavs last year's final against. That was absent last year's finals against, you know, the Warriors. When they had that gentleman's sweep. But, and also this anti Zizek dude, I mean, he's probably a tomato can, as far as I know, because he never played a lick in the league.
Yeah.
But what shocked me was that they were able to, they being the Cavs, were able to finagle a first round pick. And not only just any first round pick, but what was Brooklyn's unprotected pick.
Yes, which means for five. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. So, I mean, granted, we don't know how next year's draft is going to be, but a top five pick is usually a top five pick. And you know, I know that the Nets added Damari Carroll and all those and a couple other pieces, but they're probably going to suck again. Let's just
yeah.
be honest. So that means they're probably going to be no less than five, the top five. They'll probably be in the top three. So, I mean, what lets me know is that even though the Cavs were dealing for this in a position of perceived weakness because Kyrie, again, made it be known that he wanted the hell out of there. They came
mm-hmm.
away with, I don't want to say an impressive haul, but it was impressive from the standpoint that they were able to get something, some assets,
yeah.
including the top pick, which they could turn around and flip to acquire another superstar. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? It seems like Cleveland knew that LeBron was going to be going something this year. Like, I'm just going to put it out there and say that they did this in mind, knowing that LeBron may or may not, and I still think he's going after this year, may not be going this, you know, after this season. But I'll get to this in a minute. I want to get your thoughts on this. But there was rumors that there would have been a potentially better deal for the Cavaliers involving a three-way deal with Indiana and Phoenix. Whereas the
really?
Cavs, yes, and there's more. Where the Cavs allegedly would have had Paul George from Indiana, of course, and Eric Gordon from Phoenix. Or Kyrie Irving.
Wait. So Kyrie goes where in that
Kyrie
deal?
Kyrie would have ended up in Phoenix. He would have ended up in Phoenix.
Okay.
If Phoenix would have sent Bledsoe and another player, I forget who the other player was, and Cleveland would have sent some tomato cans to Indiana in exchange for Paul George.
Wait, so why wasn't that deal pulled?
Because, I'm glad you asked that, because that was in the time where David Griffith was fired as GM. So they didn't have a GM in place to consummate the deal.
Whew.
Consummate the deal. Yeah.
Poor Cleveland.
So that would have been a better deal. But the Cavs, yeah, themselves in the foot, and by the Cavs, I mean Dan Gilbert, owner Dan Gilbert, shot themselves in the foot and let Dave Griffin go for whatever reason. I thought he did a damn good job, and they missed out on that deal. And they could have had Jimmy Walker. I mean, I call him Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Butler.
Chicago Bulls. Jimmy Butler. I always call him Jimmy Walker for me. But Jimmy Butler, they would have had Jimmy Butler. Or not, the deal may not have been good as the deal I just disclosed, but it would have been better what Boston, believe it or not, gave them. While David Griffin was on ice, so to speak. So, even then, even despite all of that, I thought that Cleveland did an impressive job, given that, again, they were dealing from a position of perceived weakness.
True. Very true. But let me give you the good, the bad, and the ugly of this deal.
Uh-oh.
In my personal opinion.
Let's go. Okay.
Right? So the good for this, to me, kind of helps out Boston. I mean, they still have more assets
right. With
the other picks that they've acquired. You know, they also picked up Gordon in a free agency deal, which, of course, this trade, it doesn't affect how I grade this trade, but it does help improve Boston with three all-stars
right.
in that team now, with Horford, Irving, and Gordon. It's going to be weird because we're going to have three all-stars from the Boston Celtics, and this will be the first time we've had that since, you know, they've had KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Rondo. But moving on, you know, plus they'll have Kyrie for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that bothers me with this deal with Cleveland, which is why it's kind of sad that, you know, having no GM when they could have pulled that deal with Indiana and Phoenix would have been much better, is because you get an injured Isaiah Thomas,
right,
who potentially will be off the books at the end of the year, if I remember correctly. LeBron will be off the books at the end of the year. And it's a high possibility that they end up losing out on both of those guys. Matter of fact, now, I will say that the $29 million in sales or in tax relief is a benefit, but not really, because it's not like they lose that 20, or they gain that $29 million back, and they're capable of using that money to sign outside players, if I remember correctly, because, of course, it's tax relief.
Right.
But the real thing is, the real question is it that Kyrie didn't want to play with LeBron, or that Kyrie didn't want to be on that sinking ship anymore? Remember, he was in Cleveland before LeBron got there and knew how lean things were then. So you remove LeBron from that situation, he's there for another 2 years, stuck with that cast of misfit toys, i.e., well, no, because D. Rose will be off the books at that point. He'll be there with J.R.
Right.
Smith.
Shumpert.
And
I think Shumpert.
Well, no, Shumpert comes off the books next year. So if they don't re-sign him or can't re-sign him,
he'll be off the books.
I think Kevin may or may not be on the books next year. I think he may be off the books. So if all of those guys end up going, we already know that Cleveland has a history of not being able to build a team necessarily, you know,
right. Without
LeBron being there. So how does that work out for Cleveland? Well, how does that work out for Kyrie if he would have stayed? So I'm thinking he may
right. Want
to just want to get out of Dodge and use LeBron as a scapegoat in that situation, which, of
right. Course,
hadn't been done before, but why not try? And it worked, you know. So Kyrie goes over to a better situation, goes over to a team that kind of has an identity, even though it kind of does lose a little bit of it, with its heart in Isaiah Thomas and a gritty defender in Jay Crowder, which helps out
right. The
Cavs. But at the same time, I still don't know what Cleveland's identity is. I still have no identity with
their
identity. All the great teams, we know what their identity was or is. Chicago was the triangle. Bad
right. Boy
Piston. Physicality and defense, and they still had scores. You know what I'm saying? Lakers
right. Fast
break. toughness out of Boston. New Showtime Lakers was triangles again. So everybody has an identity, but this Cleveland team still doesn't have an identity. And I don't know whether or not it will be that much better to compete with Golden State in the West, let alone even beat this Phoenix team coming out of the East. Well, not Phoenix, I'm sorry, Boston.
Boston,
yeah.
Right.
But, Boston kind of hurt themselves in free agency by losing Kelly Olynyk and also Avery as well.
Avery,
so
I thought that was serious.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know if either team necessarily pushed themselves that much better because of this trade, but the Gordon Hayward deal is what kind of pushes Boston a little bit more for me due to that free agency move. So I don't know if that necessarily puts Boston in the finals for me just yet.
Sure.
But it makes them a little bit more competitive.
Well, I'm going to come back to Cleveland for a minute. I'm just going to address the quote-unquote winners and losers of this trade. I mean, people love to assign winners and losers to every trade, right?
Of course.
Going all the way back to the Louisiana Purchase, which we pretty much fleeced the hell out of France over. But that's the
story. We know who won that one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wrote a blog post, last night, soon after the news broke about the trade. I mean, I normally just marinate for 24 hours before I write a blog post, but that shit was so surprising that I had to write something. I had to put something down on paper. But at any rate, I thought that it was a win-win, and here's why.
Okay.
To me, Cleveland. This pretty much lets me know that LeBron may be going out of town after this year. That's why I came out on the blog article and doing this podcast saying, oh, LeBron's as good as gone. Because what the Cavs did, they acquired a first-round pick, okay, and set the first-round pick for next season. They brought in some talented guys, albeit a hobbled one, was is a bit hobbled in Isaiah Thomas, but he's still a scorer. He does everything what Kyrie does, except that he's much shorter, okay, and much more of a defensive liability. Quarter
mm-hmm.
toughness. To your point, they still don't have an identity. But again, they bring in talent. Aside from that Zizek kid, I mean, they didn't bring in any tomato cans, okay? And, so even if LeBron skips town, I should say, they should be, they won't be good, obviously, but they won't be but so bad. They'll probably be like a 45-win team, okay, after LeBron leaves. Now, as for Boston, it's funny that Danny Ainge sounded as the entire offseason, right, had all those first-round picks in his treasure chest. Did not use a damn one of them. I mean, he didn't use any of them to bring in. I almost call him Jimmy Walker again. Bring in that guy, okay. Bring in Paul George. You could have brought in Paul George, but he wasn't willing to part with at least the Nets' protected first round pick for some reason. But again, he's sitting on. He's had more first round picks to go around, even without the Nets' protected pick. I mean, unprotected pick. Okay, why the hell didn't he use him? To me, Jimmy Butler is a better player than Kyrie Irving. I think Paul George would have been a great upgrade as well. But why did they sit on that? Why sit on your ass when you have all those picks? I mean, to me, you're in this business to win. You're not in it to just wait till LeBron retires and go out west. You're in it to win it. Why not be the team to knock off LeBron? Why not be that team to put your flag on the top of that proverbial mountain? Why not? Especially if you have the heart to do it, if you have the resources to do it. That's what baffles me. But at least they get a guy, Kyrie, who is a bona fide scorer. We saw what he can do. We saw him show out last year's finals. We know what type of heart he has. We know what type of playoff battle testers that he has, if you will. We know what he brings to the table. Again, he's 6'3". He's a bigger version of Isaiah Thomas, which means he's not as big of a liability on defense. He can score with the best of them. He, and I think he and Gordon Hayward and Al Horford and company should mess well together. Given the, you know, full training camp, full offseason training camp, rather, and being coached by one of the best in the business, Brad Stevens, doesn't hurt either. So I think Kyrie's going through a great situation. There's indication that he wants to, that he will want to stay there long term. And, you know, it's great for, I mean, granted, you know, I'm a Knicks fan, so I hate to sell. But good for them. Good for them. They got, they were able to avoid an ugly situation with Isaiah Thomas' contract because we all know what they did with Vollerman, you know, against Cleveland. They played well. They moved the ball around. They showed a lot of heart. And why would you pay a dude who's 5'8" and hobbled with a hip injury max dollars? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he was going to want max dollars.
Exactly, and he should because he had the type of season that he had. But it wouldn't have been made financial sense for the Celtics. So good for Danny Ainge to think with his mind instead of his heart and moving on from Isaiah Thomas. Now, let's get back to Cleveland for a minute. Something tells me Cleveland's not done because I don't think that they want to take a chance and have LeBron wait around on an 18-year-old kid after this season, like from that top pick, from that that unprotected Nets pick. So I think here's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to use that first-round pick and use a combination of perhaps Iman Shumpert's expiring contract, maybe another player, or maybe just Kevin Love, and trade that to, say, New Orleans for one. Hold on to your hats, DeMarcus Cousins. I don't think that New Orleans will let go of Anthony Davis because if that's the case, the NBA would just contract the Pelicans if that happens. but I think that since DeMarcus Cousins has one more year left on the deal, and who's to say he's going to stick around New Orleans, especially if they get up to another poor start, which I think they will. Because it's just, to me, New Orleans is just Davis and Cousins and nothing else. Let's just be real. They don't have nothing else to show for it, for the talent around them. So I think that they're going to trade Cousins eventually. I think it's going to be the inevitable. Why not to Cleveland? Why not trade him to a contender? He already knows LeBron and loves LeBron like a brother. He already will have his respect. Well, I'm sorry, I should say LeBron should have his respect, you know, as a result. And they're a pretty well-run organization outside of the ownership. You know, why not? It's just a thought. But just to show you that I don't think they're done. I think they're going to do something with that first-round pick and maybe Iman Shumpert's aspiring deal and maybe Kevin Love, since I think he could opt out after next season.
And you know what? That would be smart for them to do that. You're right. There's still pieces out there which they can still make deals. Of course, your boy Carmelo is still in New York right now, twiddling his thumbs, trying to figure out exactly where he's going to land. You know, that whole Houston deal, it was on, then it's off, then it's on, then it's off. Yeah, now it's not going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah, they were. See, that's when the bad news comes in for him. He should have known that from the beginning, but, you know, that entire dance was
still there. That wasn't going to happen.
Exactly. And you know what? It was like watching Elaine Venice in that classic episode of Seinfeld. Just watching that dance happen. You're intrigued. You want to watch it. But you know it's messed up. So, you know, it was what it was. Now, it's interesting that you bring up New Orleans because there were rumblings that Boogie and AD were interested in having Carmelo come to the Pelicans. Now, whether or not that deal happens is another one That's one to be to be said. But in terms of Cleveland, it's going to be interesting because I don't think they can allow LeBron to leave twice without getting nothing for him. They keep saying LeBron is too great to trade, blah, blah, blah. False. They've traded great players all the time. Ask Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So
exactly.
To give me with great players not being traded, that's out of my face. But they're going to have to do something. Now, do they wait and see if this team has another start like it did last year, especially with the bad months of January, February, and March? If that happens, do they trade them at the deadline? But we also know what happened at the end of the season. They ended up in the finals. So I got to ask you, Scott, what do you do in this situation if you're the Cleveland GM? You know LeBron is leaving at the end of the year, and you're sitting there with him on his roster. Do you make another run with what you currently have, or do you go ahead and try to make a deal to get him out of there?
Well, here's my question, too. I'm going to answer that question. What's my question? How about that?
Okay.
You know, I understand they traded Kyrie. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Why get back a first-round pick? Well, you know what? Never mind. I was about to answer my whole question. They have the first-round pick because I'm convinced that they're going to make another move, but maybe not. Maybe they're not going to make another move. Maybe they're stacking up the future. Maybe they're getting everything just in a row when LeBron does leave. I would trade him. I would try to trade him, obviously, but – what the hell would I get for? You know, then you're not going to get equal value. Taylor, for example, if you try to trade him to the Knicks. There's no way, now that Phil Jackson's ass is gone, fire Phil Day in full effect, there's no way in the world that my Knicks will let go of Porzingis. No way in the world.
No.
And I don't think LeBron would sign off on that deal that would cause him not to play Porzingis. He's a unicorn. Porzingis is a unicorn. He can shoot the rock. He can defend. He can play down low. You don't want to do that. A lot of teams are trying to find out in the draft for years and years and years and years. We accidentally stumbled upon one in the draft. So
even though you hated it.
Even though I hated it at the time. Oh, I hated it. I hated it. I was – well, you know how I was at the time. But, yeah, I love it now. So, basically, who the hell else to do the Knicks have? They're not going to – they may not give up Carmelo because I'm assuming that LeBron would want to borrow Melo. They're tight. He's one of the banana boat boys. So, so what else on that roster would the Cavs say, okay, I'll take it. I don't see any. I really don't.
Yeah.
Shoot, you got what? Tim Hardaway Jr., who's a nice player. But I don't think we have any draft picks like coming down the pipe for next season. I don't think that we have any reserves that even worth a damn. So we don't have anything to offer them. I mean, if you scan across the league, no one's going to give up the top star for LeBron because they know LeBron is leaving. They know LeBron's going to leave Cleveland. So why would he give up the and they have to have the assurances from LeBron that he would want to stick around because he's coming in on he's in the back nine of his career, so he wants to win before going out for good. He wants to win like right now. So, I mean, I'm looking at the other teams. I mean, Milwaukee has the Greek Freak, but they're not letting go of him. They'd be stupid to let go of him and Malcolm Brogdon, the rookie of the year. And they're a team on the watch. They're going to be a damn good team next year. I mean, I really love Milwaukee. But still, who would trade who for LeBron?
You know what?
Especially when folks know that he's going to be going anyway. I mean, who are they going to get for him?
Exactly, and that's the thing, too. In order for that to really work, you would have to have the assets in order to move to get him and also the assets the remaining that will play well with him in order for him to compete. Now, you don't necessarily have to have him to stay for the following year or to resign,
right,
but at least compete that year. You don't want to have a LeBron James there with nothing else for him to play with, because it's just going to be a tumultuous year, and we already know how he responds whenever he has a bad year in the press.
Right.
But I digress. I need to find this article and put it up on your Facebook page. I heard about it a couple of days ago. Guy wrote an article, five different teams that could potentially trade for LeBron James and the assets in which they would give up. And the reason why they talked about it in this area, because one of the teams were the Wizards, and they were saying potentially Bradley Beal and a couple of expensive tomato cans for LeBron. Now, it's a deal that will probably work because, of course, you would have LeBron, John Wall, and Otto Porter still left in Washington, and they can still compete in the East. I don't know if they win a title and beat Cleveland, well, not Cleveland, but Golden State, but they'll still be competitive. Other teams that I kind of heard on that list, the one that really surprised me was Portland. But that's why I really want to read this article. I want to see how that Portland deal works. And then there are like three other teams on that list. But I want to post that after I read it especially, so that you can see this list of potential teams and potential deals that he thought of that could probably work to bring LeBron to those five cities. But it's just going to be interesting to see what happens 2018 in Cleveland with this new GM. Do they keep Tyronn Lue once LeBron is done, especially with these young guys? Because that'll be the question too. Can he truly coach? Because once again, like I've been saying about the team for the past 2 years, I don't know who they are other than LeBron in terms of identity. You know, they get that, they get a little bit more defensive toughness with Isaiah Thomas. Well, they get a little bit more toughness, that is, I should say, with Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder. They get more of a wing defender for big men with Jay Crowder, but that's going to be a rotation situation that you're going to have to deal with Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. The three of them can't be on the floor at the same time unless you move LeBron down to the two. So it's just questions to ask and try to figure out with this organization, because this has just been an organization that's been in flux ever since they won the title, not this past season, but the season prior. And all you have is a bunch of question marks going on, and it's just setting itself up to look like when LeBron left for the first time in, what was that, 2010?
Yeah.
And ironically enough, it's going to be the same organization that separates LeBron from Cleveland being the Boston Celtics. Because I got a strange feeling that if they're not ready to face the Celtics team, it'll be the Celtics that knock them out of the playoffs.
Well, speaking of which, let's get to that since we're already at that point. Do you think that the trade closes the window, closes the gap between the Cavs and the Celtics? Do you think the Celtics made up a lot of ground on the Cavs, or do you think as long as LeBron is in Cleveland, why even bother?
You know what? We've seen this Cleveland team have moments of laxing. They had a gentleman sweep against Boston, sans Isaiah Thomas. I don't think Isaiah Thomas would have helped Boston win that series. But you take Kyrie off of Cleveland, put him on Boston, it kind of helps. I think that series will go six.
Yeah, I heard.
Maybe seven.
I heard Chris Broussard say six early on. Which is about right.
Yeah. And I'm thinking it still may be six with Cleveland, before Cleveland, because, of course, they still have LeBron James. But it's going to be interesting to see how both teams deal with this slightly extended version of the season.
Yep.
Being that they're going to have more games or more days in between games now, with the season starting on the 17th of October. So I want to see how they rest guys and how they play guys and how this new nucleus – of both organizations gel and how long it takes for them to gel and how they look in the early rounds of the playoffs. But as of right now, I don't think I see anyone else within the East at this moment that's capable of beating either one of those two teams. And it looks like it's going to be Cleveland and Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. Because I don't see Washington doing anything. Toronto hasn't done anything to impress me. I like Milwaukee. I was watching the highlights of the Greek Freak earlier today. But they're still young. But, you know, they do have a capable coach. And Jason Kidd that can coach the team up. But I don't know if they have the talent just yet to beat Cleveland. So you have a bunch of young and incomplete teams that are still scratching and calling just to compete with those two teams at today. But if something happens, around the trade deadline, you know, maybe it'll alter my mind. But as of right now, it looks like the status quo.
Yeah, I hear you. So, well, let me ask you this. Let me get you out here on this. I already said earlier, I think this is still LeBron's conference to win. I still think, even with the trade, as long as LeBron's in Cleveland, Cleveland's going to go back to the finals. Now, I'll say this. I don't think it will help them against Golden State, because Golden State has a bunch of shooters and they cooked them from all parts of the floor.
Yeah.
It's like going through the motions. They're stuck in neutral. So, which is why I was thinking out loud earlier that they're not done.
No.
I don't think they're done. And I'll tell you what, if the Cavs made a similar type of trade I told you earlier about with DeMarcus Cousins and still managed to keep Kevin Love, then and only then, I would say it may they have like a chance of extending the Warriors to 7, if not possibly pulling off an upset. Only if they manage to keep Kevin Love. I'm not high on Kevin Love, but I'm just saying, you need firepower to go up against those boys, okay?
Yeah.
To go up against the Warriors. So I'm saying with like a post presence like Boogie Cousins to go to work down low and eat some lunch down there and have LeBron do his thing, whether it's going to be on the perimeter or down low, have Kevin Love put in his little 19 to 20 points, and if Isaiah Thomas becomes healthy, he puts in his 20 points. Jay Crowder puts in his like 13 and 8 or 9 rebounds per. They have a great chance of knocking off Golden State. Which is why I think I don't think that they're done. The Cavs are done dealing. But only if they know if LeBron is going to stay. The reason why, you know, I mentioned earlier, I'm going back to the beginning where I mentioned that part of the rumor of Paul George Eric Gordon going to Cleveland, which would have been a better deal. Another reason is because, and I couldn't believe I didn't mention this, is because they weren't sure if LeBron was going to stay. They didn't get assurances from LeBron that he would stay if they made those moves. Otherwise, why would they make those moves, and why would they stay around? Why would Paul George stick around if they know LeBron's not going to be there? So, the same with Eric Gordon. So, that's the reason why I was remiss to bring that up. But it was a combination of those two things. So LeBron has to let the Cavs know ASAP if he wants to stick around, if they want the Cavs to make more moves. Otherwise, why make the move? Why go for one last hurrah if you know that you won't have a chance in hell against Golden State or even San Antonio in next year's finals? Because I still think San Antonio is better than they, and still better than Cleveland. And, maybe Houston is knocking on that door now they have Chris Paul to go along with James Harden. But I still think this is the Cavs conference, but I don't know if LeBron is just satisfied at this point in his career just winning conference titles. Which is why, you know, unless they do something, unless the Cavs do something else, I think this may be Boston's conference to be had if they can't hold on to LeBron.
Yeah, just with that toughness being lost now, of
yeah.
Crowder and Olenek, and they replace it with the talent of Gordon and Irving. It'll be interesting to see this iteration of the Boston Celtics, especially with them being known for playing a little bit of defense. And I'm wondering what the coach out there in Boston is going to end up doing with those two All-Stars and how much better they'll end up getting defensively. It'll be interesting to see this. But the one deal, I don't know if you heard about this, the one deal that potentially could have happened or that had been discussed at least in terms of Kyrie Irving was to send him to Golden State for Tristan Thompson, Klay Thompson. Yes.
Interesting. Wow. That would have been made it even more unfair because sure the Cavs have gotten Klay Thompson and sure LeBron would have given Klay Thompson his shot, but I mean, come on. You got another playmaker on the perimeter who have mad handles along with Steph Curry. That's not even fair. That wouldn't be
it would have been insane.
Wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be fair. And you know, but granted, how would they play defense though? Someone would have had to post one of those two guys up. I don't know which one they would post up. But nevertheless, I think that combination of those two cats and Kevin Durant, the all-world Kevin Durant and Draymond would have just canceled that out anyway. So.
They'd have found a way. They'd have found a way.
Yeah. I don't think it would have made it. Hey, man, thanks a lot for joining me, man. Let's just do this again next week.
Oh, of course.
And let's see. Maybe we'll get some more news. So who knows? But thanks a lot, man. Take care.
No problem. And get ready for the HBCU football season starting in a couple of days.
That's right. A lot of talk about with that, too. We'll get to that. Good deal. All right, bro. Peace out. That's my guy, Dwayne Ashley. Please check him out on the sports blog, the Yards of HBCU Sports, as well as Sleeves of Radio every Tuesday night here on Blog Talk Radio. I still can't believe this trade happened. I still can't believe it went down, but again, it's a win-win. But all eyes will be on the Cleveland Cavaliers and what they'll do, what moves they'll make, because I think LeBron is as good as gone, but maybe I'm wrong, but the guys got to do what they got to do to make sure he stays stick around. But anyway, thank y'all for listening to the podcast. It's the Clown Hour. This is your boy, Scott Burks, on the Off 06. Good night.